a place that had a big plaque on the side of the building, and it said Parliament Building 996 AD. So the bus stop where I used to catch the bus to school was like nearly 1100 years old. There's massive amounts of history in Britain, and it's really cool that you can kind of track back. And we often think in lines when it comes to history. You know, we can go back to this time, 500 years or 1,000 years or even more, depending where you are in Britain. Or you can go forward, and so you might look like, okay, well, I was born here, and then a few years later I go to school, and then after school I go to university perhaps, or I get a job, and then I meet the person who I'm going to marry, and then the next thing on the line is we maybe buy a house or a car, we have kids, and we go all the way into the future until eventually, you know, at the age of 100 and something or other, we die. And so we think in terms of being born to dead. And we think in a line. That's how we think. We think that time is linear. Whereas that kind of creates a very controlling sense over our lives. So that we think that we have the ability to actually determine what happens in our lives. And to a certain extent, on a day-to-day basis, we definitely do have choice, and we can make decisions. And I'm not saying we can't, because obviously we can. But in terms of life stuff, stuff that we don't have control over, I want to show you this morning that God has a sovereign plan for you. That really, you're not in control. First scripture I want to show you is in Isaiah, and this is a cool scripture. Okay, apparently we need the compatibility pack from 2007, if we can just work that out. Listen to God's view of things, okay? It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things not yet done. Let's just stop there a second. See, we see in terms of, okay, this kind of linear time thing, God sees the whole thing at once. He says from the beginning of time to the end, he sees the whole of time all at once in one big picture. From ancient to now. So he looks at these castles and he's seeing them being built. He looks at our lives and he sees our lives. He looks at the cross and he sees Jesus right now dying on the cross. He sees the whole thing as one. It says he sees the beginning from the end. And then it says, my counsel shall stand, I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east and a man of my counsel from a far country. So what he's saying is, even though I have this a massive eternal perspective, I still see and determine that the eagle or the bird of prey will go after that particular animal. So even something so huge as eternity that we can't even begin to imagine what that's like, he still sees the bird of prey going after it's lunch. It says that the man of my counsel from a far country, he determines where we move, where we go. You know, you might have moved to Kelowna like me, you know, just recently in the last few years. You may say, well, my dad got a new job or my mum got a new job. No, God's saying, I planned that. I planned that. Nothing is outside. The scripture is saturated with statements that God is in control. And man has tried really, really hard to give the impression that, you know what, that God is like, I don't want to serve a God who's surprised by stuff. Do you know what I mean? Man, Glenn's moved to Kelowna. Oh, didn't see that coming. Gonna have to shift things around a little bit. I want to serve a God who's in control. The implications of that, though, if you go down the line, are pretty huge, because it also means that the events that happened in your individual lives were always also planned by God, good and bad. We'll come to that in a second. So like this massive God who sees the eagles, he sees people moving around, and then he also says this in Psalm 139. It says, let me just find Psalm 139. It says, for you formed, this is David talking about God, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mum's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. So with the full knowledge that God has from beginning to end, he still said, you, I planned every aspect of your life. There's two words there that you kind of skip over quite quickly, but are just, if you dwell on them for a little bit, it's phenomenal. The first one is frame. God, before, it says in Ephesians 1, before the foundation of time, he determined what you would look like. He said, okay, you know what? This person is going to be blonde. This person is going to have green eyes. This person is going to be this tall. This person is going to have this frame. This person is going to have this kind of nose. This person is going to have these kind of cheekbones. And he planned every aspect of you. Now, you know, it's not like God was kind of there one day, kind of forming you and suddenly gets distracted by somebody. Hey, God, do you want a cup of coffee? What? Oh, rats. Man, well, it's not quite how I planned it, but maybe nobody will notice. You know, we'll just keep going, keep going. God didn't make a mistake when he made you look like you did. Like you do. He was like, man, you know, I wanted them a bit taller. Or I wanted them a bit shorter. Or I wanted them a bit thinner. Or I wanted them a bit more meat or whatever. He never made a mistake. So here's the deal, guys. I want to know if God is kind of from beginning to end and sees the whole thing and he planned you to be here right now looking the way you did, when do we stop looking at other people trying to be like them? When do we become comfortable with ourselves? When do we become satisfied with the way that we look? Now, you know what? I'll be the first to admit, I haven't got kind of Brad Pitt looks or anything like that. Nobody's disagreeing. Okay, fair enough. But, you know, but at some point in my life, I became comfortable with the way that I looked. And I can't identify when it was, but there are some people, you meet them, and they're comfortable with the way that they are. And it kind of comes out of them. And they're not just the good-looking ones. Because when God looked at you, he said, that's good. The way that person, the way you look is good. I don't care what anybody else says. That's good. So when we look at somebody else and go, I wish I had their hair, or I wish I had their eyes, or I wish I had their smile, or I wish I was as athletic looking as them, or I wish I didn't have this, or I wish I didn't have that, or what you're actually doing is saying, God, you didn't do a good enough job. You're not actually as wise as you think you are. The other thing that says it there is that God planned your substance. You know, and that talks about your character and personality. And I was saying to the middle school earlier on, you know, I've been wired in certain ways that you haven't been. I come, and this is a natural thing for a speaker, I feel more comfortable speaking to a crowd, and I've spoken in front of thousands, and I'm very comfortable doing it, very uncomfortable one-on-one. Do you know why? Because that's intimate. This isn't. And I recognize that about myself. It's not an effort anymore. I've learned to enjoy kind of the one-on-one and small groups, but it's an effort for me. I'm comfortable in front. I've learned that about myself, and that's a character. I've also learned that I'm pretty loud. Sorry. My kids are like that. You know, I said to the middle school, I feel sorry for my kids because I'm a little bit weird sometimes. I'm a little bit loud. I'm 35 years old and I still make dumb noises. I'm driving along the car and like, to my kids. Sorry. And my kids are like, I don't know what it is in me that needs to do this dumb stuff, but I do. That's the way I'm wired. And you might go, I'm not like that. Good. Don't judge me. You might be really quiet. You might be really introverted. You might be, I have to work hard at thinking deeply. This is irony. You know, I have to work hard at that. You might be somebody who's really quiet. I'm not. I'm loud. There are times when I'm quiet. There's times when God made you, some of you are gigglers. Some of you are not. Some of you laugh really easily. Some of you cry at commercials. It's so sad. That cuddly bear's got tissue stuck on his bum. You know, that might be you. That's my wife. She's like that. I'm like, I can predict. I know when my wife is going to start crying at points, you know, like extreme home makeover. She's going there. I know there's some of you like that as well. But God formed your substance, your character, your personality, your frame, your looks for a specific purpose. He did not make a mistake. He did not make a mistake. Do you watch Extreme Makeover? Do you remember the, I don't know if it's still on TV. The one that where they that people actually have plastic surgery. I'm fascinated by that. I'm like, okay, you know what? It might be that you've got some things that aren't exactly symmetrical. But then they go and they start drawing in pen, okay, and like you know, and then they go under the knife and then they show the before and after picture, and you're like, and they're like, you know, like this. You can tell when people have plastic surgery. Give me a break. You know what I mean? They've got like their ears are pulled. I don't know how they do it, but when is it? Maybe, it's fine for you. I don't know. But when is it that we suddenly become dissatisfied with the way that God has made us and we start looking at other people and start wishing that we were like them? And what that leads to is actually making really poor decisions in life, because what we do is then we start abusing ourselves in order to be something that we're not. So if you're naturally loud, you start withdrawing because you're trying to be something that you're not actually and try and be really quiet. Don't be ashamed of who you are that God has made you to be. Maybe you're really quiet. Don't be ashamed of being really quiet. Don't be ashamed of crying at commercials. Don't be ashamed of the way that you look. God has made you that way. Don't abuse your body by not eating or whatever it might be to be something that you're not. You are you and God has planned it that way. You see, the myth that we're looking at today is that life doesn't just happen, it's planned. And you see, the world will tell you that life just happens. Just hold on. And it's not that way. Acts 17, 26. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's just phenomenal. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined, listen to this, I've said this to you before, and it won't be the last time, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God. So not only can God see this eternal perspective and he's determined how you're going to look, he's actually said, you belong there. You belong right there in that time. I was born in 1973, which some of you is really old. So others of you, you're looking at me going, oh, yeah, you know nothing, you young kid. You know, and 1973 wasn't a particularly special year. You were born in 91, thank you, Pat. You know, God planned that you would be born on that exact day. The Bible is full of it. It says that you are planned for a specific time, for a specific place. And yet we're so desperate to move on to the next thing. We're so desperate to kind of go on to that next stage. I'm desperate to leave school. I'm desperate to do the next thing. And God's saying, no, you're meant to be here looking like that. Acting like that, being who you are. I've seen from beginning to end, and I have planned that is exactly where you should be. So here's the things, guys. I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty now. If all that is true, it causes us a problem. Because life isn't a skip through the meadows. Life sucks. People die. People divorce. People get cancer. People get abused. People get bullied. People abuse themselves. People get addicted to drugs. Life sucks. So if that's true, what you've just said, Glenn, that God has planned everything from beginning to end, then how does this fit in? How does it fit in that God is willing for me to go through this pain that I'm feeling right now? How can it be that God has determined that that's a good thing? And then some idiot Christian comes along and quotes to you Romans 8:28, "For all things will work together for good for those who love God." And you want to go, because it doesn't feel good. And you're like, and you know, slap it on the side of a mug and wear it on a t-shirt. And Christian, no. And you want to do damage to people because you're going through so much pain. If God is so amazing and he's so planned and so wonderful, how is it he's happy, it seems, that this God is willing to allow you to go through this stuff? And Glenn, you've just told me that he's planned it. These are the sort of questions that go through my mind. I don't know about you guys. But if God is so amazing, how come it hurts so much? Ecclesiastes 3 is one of these scriptures, unfortunately, that Christians use as a baseball bat to slap somebody around the head to try and make them feel better. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Let's just stop there for a second. That one statement causes me some serious questions. For everything there is a season. You name it, guys. There's a season for it. You name whatever pain, whatever hurt, whatever abuse, whatever loneliness, whatever fear, whatever separation, whatever cancer, whatever disease, you name it, everything. There's a season for it. And even if you just, in your own mind, just scratch the surface of that statement, that alone can keep me awake at night. Because how can this loving, amazing, incredible God who sees everything from beginning to end say everything, guys, everything, there's a season. And a time for every matter under heaven. And it goes through, there's a time to born, a time to die, a time to plant. There's a time for killing, there's a time for healing, breaking down, for building up. Next slide, please. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embrace, a time to seek, a time to lose. And what we do is we go through that and we say, you know, God knows. It's a time for everything, and if you just hold on, then God will show that there's good in this. And inside you want to, man, that doesn't help me right now. See, what I want to do is I want to go through that list, and I want to pick what I want. Like, I've got this huge, like, we used to have things in Britain, I'm sure we do here, they're called carveries. Do you know what a carvery is? It's like when you go to a restaurant, if they've got a carvery, it's like this huge table with every imaginable food you can think of under it. And you start with a plate that's like this big. And by the end, it's like that. You're like, you're going to eat that or climb it? Look at the size of that thing. It's like, you got Chinese food and you got seafood. It's just incredible. You start and you go, and I don't know about you, but they always put the salad first. What's the point of that? Salad, that's not a meal. That's just, I don't know what that is. So I always skip the salad. And I get one of the bread and the butter, and I never put it on my plate because it takes up too much space, so I hold it underneath my plate. It's a good tip. So you've still got more space for food. And then you go along this buffet or carvery, and you start going, I want some of this, I don't want that, I want some of this, oh no, that's straight from Satan, I don't want that, and you know, and that's like angels spitting in my mouth, and I want that, and this, and that. And we go to the end, and then we have this incredible delicacy that you have chosen. You go home, and you go to your table, and you stuff your face, and you go back for more. It's wonderful. Probably not good for you, but right then it's great. In the long term, if we kept on doing that, then we wouldn't be able to fit through those doors. But it tastes great. Life's not like that. Because if this was a carvery or a buffet, I'd be going, okay, I'll take the hugs. I won't take the rejection. I don't want to lose. I always want to win. I don't want to be cast away. I always want to feel like I'm being kept, so I'm being kept close. I don't like things breaking. I want things to stay good. I don't want families breaking up. I don't want them torn apart. I want them together. You know, and the other one, you know, I want love. You can keep the hate. I don't want war. I'll have the peace. And so what we do is we kind of think of life as this kind of carvery, and life's not like that. This isn't a carvery. It's a set of ingredients. It's a set of ingredients that God has determined need to be part of your life to make this person who God planned it to be, pain and pleasure. Because you need the ugly, you need the pain in order to really experience the pleasure and the beauty. If everything was beautiful, would it really be beautiful? You know, do you know what I mean by that? Like, if everything was just like, woohoo, would it really be woohoo? I don't think so. And God, has this vision of our life that is at a distance, and he sees the whole thing, and he says, that is good. That's painful. That's painful. That's good. That's painful. That's good. That's painful. But all this is good. Do you understand that? And when we're in that painful, it's like having your face pressed up against a beautiful tapestry, and you're close to the pain. It feels like you can't see the beauty until you actually pull away from it. And you go, okay, I get it now. I needed to go through that to make me the person that God wants me to be. But as Mrs. Hollenquist and I were talking about this the other day, you look at the other side of the tapestry, it's a mess. Are you with me, guys? Because I sense some of you are not. It's a mess. And right now you might feel like life is just tough. But God has got this eternal perspective on your life. And what we see as painful right now, it is painful. And you don't need somebody coming along and saying, everything you want to get good. It doesn't feel right. But to have that eternal perspective from God, to understand that God has planned your life, that you are not an accident, that your parents might have gone, oh no, we're pregnant. And some of you might have be that. Like, I don't know. Some of you might be accidents. Or, I don't know. You don't look like accidents to me, but like your parents are going, oh, stink. I've already got 17 kids and now I've got another one, you know. But God's going, God's saying, yep, I want that life. That life is going to bring me glory, and that life is going to need to go through all this in order to bring me ultimate glory. Because remember, guys, I keep on telling you, it's not about you, it's about God's glory. And if that is any comfort to any of you at all, I want to say to you that your life from an eternal perspective is good. But my heart goes out to you right now if it feels painful. Let me give you a kind of a silly example. I need Mr. Robinson. Can you grab five other teachers, including Daryl there, because I said quickly, yeah, and a couple of, yeah, six. I need six. Six teachers, male and female, please. Come on, I need to show you something. Can you line up in a nervous line at the front here? Okay. All right, man. Okay, that's good. 4, 5. That's it. Oh, I see. Okay, fair enough. No, you're good, Mr. Schultz. We need you. We need you. Okay. So, this is what we're going to do. What I've got in here, this is my lunch pot. What we have in here is some ingredients. I'm being nice to you. Did you see? You see your face lit up then. That was awesome. Okay. So what we've got here is the end product. Is this muffin that my wife baked a couple of days ago. And I love it when she bakes. House smells great. But what I know is we've got sugar, we've got eggs, we've got cocoa, we've got flour, and we've got margarine or butter. And all these things add up to this. Now, I'm happy eating sugar. Don't mind that. It can be that thick on my cereals. I'm quite happy about that. We'll come to the egg in a second. Cocoa, I'm not sure whether I'd want to eat that by itself. I'm certainly not happy, especially knowing that a middle school kid's finger has been in there already. And so these individual ingredients are like events that happen in our lives. I'll take some sugar. I'll even have the egg in a certain kind of way. But I don't know whether I would take the margarine and the flour and the cocoa by choice. But you see, God has this eternal perspective that this is what he wants to aim for, but these things need to happen in order for this to be. So we'll make this a bit easier for you. Because you're all going to eat it. Is that all right? Did you not realize that?
Okay, here we go.
So what I need you to do is just in whatever way you want, you can lick it, whatever. It's fine. Look, there you go. Okay, so off you go. Have it's yours. No, I think you need to take a little bit more cocoa. Because that cocoa has the ability of immediately hardening in your mouth. No ice. You just take it. Come on. Come on. Come on, go for it. Go for it, go on. Yeah, protein, it builds you up. Okay, thank you very much. You know, what was that? Was that all right? Did you eat some? Did you eat some? You didn't eat any?
You told me.
Oh, it was his tongue. Okay, thank you very much. Give him a round of applause. All right. Can we have the next slide? Have we got the next scripture? Okay. Okay, so look at this, guys. I'm going to finish with this. Look at this statement. And this is a profound statement. Ecclesiastes is an incredible book. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yeah, so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. You know what? You may never, ever understand why. You may never... I want to know why things have happened to me in my life. And you know what? To a certain extent, I've stopped asking about certain events because you'll never know why. Only God knows why. And it's not our role to ask him because in that mystery is faith. But that statement, he has made everything beautiful in its time. In its time, everything that has made you will be beautiful. Given it enough eternal perspective, it is beautiful. Life is beautiful. And this eternity, I love that he put eternity into man's heart. This is when I say, you know that there's a God because inside of you there's eternity. And God is saying the ultimate plan is for you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then you will start seeing that these things that happen in your life, they may be a struggle at the time, but he gives you that ability to come through it. And then given time, just like we saw the egg, I mean, I wouldn't choose to eat a raw egg. I've done it, but I wouldn't choose to do it. But given enough time, all those ingredients make a beautiful life. God's made you beautiful. You might not feel it, but it's a wonderful thing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've put eternity into our hearts. That God, that in your incredible plan that goes from beginning to end, Alpha and Omega, the whole of eternity that you have seen, you have wired us in at a certain point with certain experiences for a beautiful reason. And Lord, I pray that the students that are in this place right now who are feeling that pain, that are feeling the confusion, that are going through things that no young person should have to experience in human thinking, that Lord, those young people who are struggling, that God, that they would be comforted to know that you're a God who has a beautiful plan. And that in the short term, it may be painful, but in the long term, in eternity's term, it's a beautiful thing. So Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you are the ultimate reason that all this is in existence. And God, I pray that today we would give glory to that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, teachers, for volunteering. And we've got one song, and then you are dismissed for lunch. Bless you.
margarine, apparently.
Yeah.
Margarine.
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 No, margarine. We'll talk, okay?